It'll also be recorded, and she can listen to the beginning on the internet.
Let's see if I bring this up. Volume.
Okay, we're starting in chapter 12, and let me give you some things to take note of. First of all, you need to be able to list the seven sevens. There are seven things, not just four things, but seven sets of seven. Name one of the list of seven, Hannah. Right? There are seven seals, which are seven plagues, but the seven seal judgments, that's one. What's another one?
Seven trumpets.
Seven trumpets. Good. Seven vials. Those are bowls or containers. What else is there, Andrew?
Seven dooms.
Seven dooms. Seven churches. Okay, so there's seven things you need to be looking for. These aren't going to be just jumping out at you. You're going to have to be aware of them. You need to be able to describe who the 144,000 witnesses are. You need to be able to describe who they are. Just, what are these guys? Are they Jehovah's Witnesses? What are these guys? Another thing you're going to need to be able to do is you need to tell me who the two witnesses of chapter 11 were. Now, I know we didn't do Revelation chapter 11, but you need to know who those two witnesses are. Jennifer, who are the two witnesses?
Moses and Elijah.
Okay. So we know it's Moses because he turns the water to blood, and we know it's Elijah because he stops it from raining for 3.5 years. And we also know it's Elijah simply because the prophecies in the Old Testament said Elijah must first come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You need to know, here in chapter 12, you have a lot of symbolism. You have a sun-clothed woman. Mm-hmm. You have a great red dragon. You have a man-child. In chapter 13, you have a dragon. You have a beast. So when I list and I say the beast, you need to be able to say that is who. So Hannah, who is the beast? That he is the Antichrist. All right? The one who is absolutely the opposite of Christ. When we say the Lamb, who's that? That's Jesus. That's nice. Okay? So that's Jesus. When we say the great red dragon, who's that? Jennifer.
Satan.
That's Satan himself. So when I give you that list, you need to be able to fill in who they are. Okay? They are... They're symbolic, yes, but they're just they're giving you a better understanding of who they are, what they do, and characteristics of them. So pay attention to those main details in chapter 12 and chapter 13. When you're looking at chapter 12 and chapter 13, I'm going to ask you who are there's some kingdoms here. Where are my page of kingdoms? Here we are. I've got page 15. But it's in chapter 13. Chapter 12, the second page. There's seven heads to that beast.
Seven kingdoms.
In the seven kingdoms of history, I need you to know those seven kingdoms: Babel, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece and Rome.
We want to keep Babel as that first one because when we had figured it out in the timeline, it didn't seem like that was the original one.
Until I can be more sure of what they are, I'm going to stick with what I know.
Okay, no, that's fine.
I appreciate that. I have not tackled that yet. So I'm on page 51 in chapter 12. Those seven heads, those seven kingdoms.
You know all those.
I'm going to ask you who the man-child is. So I'll list down here, and I'll say the man-child. And who do you think that is in the middle of the tribulation?
Huh? Are you going to mark it wrong if Jesus
comes? No, I'm not. But I would prefer you to actually have some thoughts about could it be X, Y, and Z.
What if we don't want it?
I don't care. But I am going to, you know, I want you to give me the conclusions on these things. Let's see. This is something very important. How is a person to overcome the power of the devil? How do you overcome the power of the devil? I give you three things.
Is that chapter 13?
That's in chapter 13. How do you overcome? I'm sorry, no, this is still in chapter 12. It's the only way to overcome the devil.
Number 6B, group B6.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo.
By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and by yielding up your life, being willing to die. Let's see, where is Israel going to flee to when they are threatened by the Antichrist? Where will they flee, Yana? Now, Israel is going to run from the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation. But they will flee somewhere, and it actually says Israel flees into the wilderness. Never knock. Just come in.
So sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
Sorry to everyone. You should have come here earlier.
No. It's her fault, isn't it?
Of course.
Of course it is. All right. So Israel's going to flee when it is threatened by the Antichrist. They will flee into the wilderness. Remember that. Who is our high priest? Who is our high priest? It is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you, what is he doing? So if you think of the high priest, what is he doing right now?
Making intercession for us?
Yeah, don't give all the answers. Just try and, if somebody asks.
I thought you were asking.
No, I am. Now I'm just saying, right, don't give all the answers. Let everybody ponder that. Do I know that? And then if you don't know it, you need to raise your hand and say, well, what is he doing? So that I can help you get ready for these questions. I appreciate the answer. That's fine. I'm just trying to get everybody thinking now. I gave you a list, a table. If you notice here in chapter 13, I give you a table on the counterfeits that the devil produces. There are seven counterfeits. Look at that. God's people. He counterfeits God's church, God's bride, God's ministers, his preachers, his prophets, God's light, and his son. So you need to remember, I'm going to ask you for two, three of those. You need to remember that Satan loves to counterfeit God's word. He has all kinds of new Bibles coming out. Those are of the devil. They're not just better translations or newer translations. They are wrong translations. So he counterfeits. So I'm on page, what is that, 57, 58?
53 in ours.
Oh, 53. Wow. I'm on 62 in mine. So you need, even though he's got that table there, pay attention to what Satan counterfeits. Who is, so, all right, down, I come down here. All right, so we'll say beast. We'll have a false prophet. Anybody remember? Who is the false prophet? Who would he be? Think of the word prophet. Okay. False prophet. He's somebody that can prophesy. He's somebody that can tell the future. He's somebody that can speak for God. But he's false. He is not the Antichrist. He's not the beast. He directs the whole world to worship the beast. Who is the false prophet? He's the Pope. He's going to be the big guy on the stage directing everybody to worship the Antichrist. Let's see. What else is important? What are the three things that the beast requires people to have in order to, one of the three things, but there are three things that he will require everybody to have at least one of in order to buy or sell. Do you remember, Yvonne? I know, I'm sorry, you're trying to catch up.
14, are we?
Well, I'm in actually chapter 13 still.
13.
I'm in chapter 13.
I'm also lost. They have everything else but not 13.
Ooh.
So,
I don't have 13.
You don't have 13 either?
No, because I am writing chapter 14.
And I don't have it either. So
well, I can
pull. Maybe I.
Okay, so, where did I leave off there?
So, she's supposed to say what the Antichrist.
There are three things that the Antichrist, the beast, requires everybody to have at least one of in order to buy or sell. Do you remember? A mark? And his name. So I apologize. There's plenty of stuff for you to catch up on. I know, but that you got to know that he doesn't just ask everybody to take a mark. Some people will wear his number. Some people will carry his name. If you do not make the Antichrist, isn't that funny? How the Antichrist seeks all people everywhere to worship and give all attention to him. And once you have him as your focus, he will allow you to live. And his desire is not for worship, but to take worship away from God and draw people that would be directed at God to now be focused on him. He's a loser. The Antichrist seeks only to rob God of the worship that belongs to him. The Antichrist is going down, as they say. He is doomed, and he knows it. So he seeks. He will enforce during the tribulation people to take a mark. The word mark there is a black spot. Take his name, and his name will be of a betrayer, Judas, and will have and his or a number, and what is his number? 666. So, we have, since the 1960s, we've seen 666 everywhere. In every UPC symbol, when you purchase something, there's a 666 on the UPC symbol. When you buy even a DVD, that little thing there has a 6 in the beginning, a 6 in the middle, and a 6 in the end. Everything that you buy or sell has a number on it. So it's already in place, it just hasn't been enforced on somebody yet. Although, have you noticed, they don't want people to be using cash anymore. They want everybody using their card. In the new budget, they're going to start charging us 12 cents every time you use the ATM. Because they don't want bad. Don't use cash. Use your debit card. That's where we're going. All right? Let's see. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17. Open that up in your Bible. Zechariah 11, 17. You need to remember this, because next week you're going to go, wow, can we have an open Bible? And I'll say, no. But you'll remember this. This is the only scripture I think I refer to. Zechariah 11, verse 17. It's just before Matthew. Read that there.
Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened.
All right, now the key word for this is he's an idol. If somebody's called I-D-L-E, what does that mean? If they were an idle shepherd, what would that tell you about them?
Not doing anything.
They're lazy. But this is not an idle. English is amazing. It's phonetically the same, but it's a different word. If he's an I-D-O-L shepherd, what does that mean?
He's raised up and fixed up for people to worship him.
He is the focus of worship. And he leaves the flock. He abandoned. The flock is worshiping him instead of him giving his life for him. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. This one is out to kill and steal and destroy sheep. But what happens to this shepherd? Now this idol shepherd, he's a shepherd. See that thing? He's trying to take the place of Jesus Christ, who's the bishop, the shepherd of our soul. This guy, what happens to him? It says something about his right arm and his right eye. What happens to him?
His mane gets cut.
Marred.
Okay, so he's in a fight.
Wounded.
Somebody tries to kill him. But his right arm is shriveled up and his right eye is darkened. And according to Zechariah 11:17, I want you to know what wounds the beast receives. So right arm, crippled, right eye, blind. And so this will be an identification. You'll be able to point to him and go, that's the Antichrist. Now you and I won't be here. But people, these are things that God's telling the people during the tribulation to be able to identify the Antichrist. They'll know him because he will actually be raised from the dead, I believe. And he'll retain this scarring to his body. But this is just something for you to remember about the Antichrist. Chapter 14 comes on. Let's move on.
Do you need to know what the beast obtains from the dragon?
I do ask that in the thing, and depends on, I've got some new questions and I'll pull some things out. Go ahead and memorize those, yes. What the beast obtains, he obtains his seat. What are the three things there? His power and his authority. So, his place where he's at. The dragon, the devil, gives him the most prominent place. Isn't that what he offered Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you will but bow down unto me, I will give you all these kingdoms. So, what was meant for Jesus is turned over to the Antichrist. So, that's... Now, when you get to chapter 14... All right. Let's see if I can stir your memory. How many raptures are there in the book of Revelation? Okay. Yana, what's the first rapture in the book of Revelation? Let's just go ahead and mark it off. It's at the beginning of the tribulation, and that's the rapture of believers, of Christians, you and me. Okay? We go up. Then begins the tribulation. There's another rapture. When's the next one, Yvonne?
In the middle of the tribulation.
Who is that?
The two prophets.
Good. Well, the two, they're not called prophets, they're called witnesses, aren't they?
Witnesses.
All right? They're witness, meaning they're testifying against the Antichrist. But, okay, so that's in Revelation chapter... This one is in chapter 4. This one's in chapter 11. We got another one there. Jennifer, when's another rapture?
144,000.
144,000. All right. There's... Now, we call it the 144,000, but there's more than them. All of the believers that are saved during the tribulation go up with 144,000, but then there's one more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a funny bunny, as they say. Andrew, what is the...
The unbelievers, not the unbelievers, but the ones that, at the back, when Jesus comes back, the believers go... I'm sorry.
Everybody gets...
Everybody else, the one that is the wrath of God, kind of goes up but then goes down. You know?
That's right. What a disappointing trip that will be. All right, into the to Armageddon.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's still the meaning of
it. You're all right. No, it takes a long time to figure these things out as you describe them. Now I want you to understand. So we've got one, two, three, a fourth rapture. What is happening at the same time of this rapture, Yana? What is happening? I'm trying not to give you the hint. There's one other event that is occurring at the same time, bringing us to Armageddon with Jesus. There's actually a wedding in heaven, but after the wedding, we all return. And that's called the return, or the second coming of Jesus. So, we had the first coming when he came as a baby. And he died on the cross. This is the second coming. This is what we call the return, or as they say in Lord of the Rings, this is the return of the king. Okay? And this is his, and that is the battle and all battles. Okay? So, we've got four basic raptures here. Now, there are three views on the rapture. What are those three theories, three different viewpoints? Yvonne?
The three different views regarding the...
the rapture.
The rapture.
Mm-hmm.
That is symbolic.
Okay, that it doesn't have, that it not really doesn't take place. Okay, that would be true. Some people are like that. Yes?
And then...
Okay, that's a fourth one. I'm going to say this, okay? Or Jennifer, can you describe for them? And by the way, let me fill in some of this thing. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation is called the tribulation. But then there's another 3.5 years, even though they're larger, that's also 3.5 years. What is it called, Jennifer?
The Great Tribulation.
The Great Tribulation. Great meaning what?
Terrible.
The terrible trouble time of tribbles. Alright. So, looking at this thing, there are three basic views on the rapture. What are they?
Pre-trib,
and post-trib. Okay. Which one do most Bible-believing Baptists hold to?
The pre-trib.
That's right. Unfortunately, it used to be the majority, if not 99.9% of Bible-believing Baptists did. Now there's a huge shift, a falling away, of people who are just believing some wacko thoughts. So there is pre-trib, pre meaning before, rapture. There is, what's the middle one called?
Mid-trib.
Mid-trib, like middle of the trib. And what's the last one?
Post-trib.
Post-trib. Now, where do you find a rapture at the post-trib?
Maybe it's when the 144...
Yeah, so they have a rapture they can peg it on. Mm-hmm. But it's not... There's only 144,000 that are referred to, and it is... It is a funny bunny because we're supposed to be married to Jesus. We're supposed to have a wedding. How do you have a wedding from here to there to there? This happens almost simultaneously. So we have to go up, get married. That's a shotgun wedding. And then come right back down as fast as we can. And what are we missing? The judgment seat of Christ. There's no time for the judgment seat of Christ. The marriage supper of the Lamb. There's nothing. So when people believe in the post-trib, they reject all the other revelation about the marriage. The marriage of the Lamb is not. It can't be. When
so
Jesus,
that's happening during the tribulation.
This is a tribulation rapture. This is a tribulation. This is a pre-trib. We go up here. We're going through the first thing that happens in heaven. This is something very important. The first thing. This is part that's in the first part of the book of Revelation. So I'm not actually. I didn't teach it to you guys. So some of this stuff is way over the head, and I apologize. But there is the judgment. Seat of Christ. And that's where Christians get their rewards. And that happens in heaven while tribulation is going on earth. Mm-hmm. Then you have the marriage, the wedding. And then you have the supper. And then you have the honeymoon. If you want to call it that. We're coming back right on a horse in a battle. But that's what it is. Okay? So, these things, if you put them in your mind and you realize, you see that there is a rapture at the end of the tribulation. There's a rapture in the middle. These guys all have raptures to peg their theory on. But they don't allow for everything else that's supposed to be going on. Okay?
I know we covered this, but the 144,000 people that are, and the people that get saved during the tribulation are not part of Jesus Christ's bride.
Nope.
They are the guests. Well, they wouldn't be there. They're not guests. They're not there. Anyway, right?
Right.
Okay.
There will be people that are slaughtered.
Oh,
they're going to be heaven,
in heaven.
Right?
Yeah.
But they're not part of the bride.
Okay.
Okay. The bride has a different category, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about that when we get on a little further in a few more chapters where we talk about the wedding in chapter 19.
So the bride, sorry, Pastor, the bride is the people that survived, well, kind of went through the tribulation. Why then call it the bride then at the end of the marriage?
All believers from the cross all the way through to the rapture.
Oh, they are the ones.
They are the church in general. The Christians. They are the bride. You and I, your dad, your mom, all believers going back to Peter, James, John, the people who got saved, the Apostle Paul, who got saved from the resurrection, from the cross, all the way through to now.
I just was a bit confused because the marriage is at the end, so they don't get married until they are about to come back.
It looks like it's at the end, but it's not really at the end. It's not part of the tribulation.
Oh, when the tribulation is down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The tribulation is here, you know.
Okay, while there's tribulation in the world,
this is going on up in heaven.
The rewards and the marriage. And all
the yeah, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And the people that comes out of the tribulation, they are the ones that they will be. Because I was reading in Spanish, and she can read in English, and they were saying that the people that survive the tribulation, they will be the servants, and they will also be, and their tears will be wiped
away, right?
But they are not part of they are not the bride.
They're not.
And it says in the Bible that they will be called the servants. So
well, actually, it doesn't. It does call them servants, but all, even those who rule and reign with Jesus will be his servants still.
But I think there's going to be some sort of a hierarchy because it says also that the believers, the bride, they according to the rewards, they
yes.
will be either kings and all sort of.
Yeah, or they'll be street sweepers. That's right.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, okay.
Okay, but so good.
Okay.
good. All right. Let's see.
Do we need to like the pre-wrath? Or are you not really
the pre-wrath? Okay. Yes. What I was just asking was, I want you to describe, you know, identify the different raptures, okay, and the different, and to identify what are the three different approaches or the different theories of the rapture, different viewpoints of the rapture, the pre-trib, the mid-trib, and the post-trib, which is, the post-trib is pre-wrath. They put the wrath where? In Armageddon. Mm-hmm. They put the wrath right in this little bitty blip. But according to Jeremiah, and according to Isaiah, and according to Joel, this all entire thing is the wrath of God. So they're out on a limb. And we didn't really. I just want you to be able to know that it's there, and to know that that's where they have Christians surviving until, and then going up. And that's, you know, talk about believers who are saved now, having to live all the way through to almost the end of the tribulation and to be raptured. And it just is ludicrous because they have the judgment seat of Christ they're missing, and the marriage of the Lamb, and the marriage supper, and that just is not possible to fit in there. So, who is the harvester of the first? There are two harvests here at the end of the tribulation. Who's the harvester of the first rapture of that two? One like unto the Son of Man. It is Jesus.
Yeah,
it is
like
Jesus Christ.
Christ.
Good. There's another angel that comes in there and brings everybody up with his sickle.
Right.
Good. Just getting you to think. All right, chapter 15.
Where did you find that?
I'll find it here. Chapter 14. First Harvester. This is my page 67. Might be your 60, 61. Armageddon, number F. In the chapter 14, the first harvest, the harvester is Jesus Christ.
57, okay.
Oh, we're still on 57. Guys, we are so far behind. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the latter harvest, I believe, is the death angel. But that's just my guess, so. According to Exodus chapter 13. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you that one.
It's F, and it's 1A.
The harvester is Jesus Christ. All right, chapter 15. When you get to chapter 15, I need you to be able to tell me what the sea of glass is. Remember when the Bible says there's no more sea? And, you know, it's the sea of glass. It's the dividing wall between this universe and God's heaven. In chapter 15, where did... Well, let me ask that one. I'm not sure. How many journeys through the tribulation does the reader of the book of Revelation complete by the end of this book? How many journeys through the time of the tribulation does the reader experience as they read through the book of Revelation?
Anybody? Three?
Just like the Gospels.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Four times you go through the book of Revelation. Four times it takes you through and it says, it is done. It takes you through and it says, and then silence. And it seems to always end and then start over. So four times you're going through the book of Revelation.
That's okay. The seven seals, trumpets, persons, and vials.
Yes. Here we go. What is the Old Testament name for the seven-year tribulation? What's the Old Testament name?
Oh, okay.
You're getting a lot lost.
What chapter are we on?
I don't know.
This is the curveball.
I do throw some curveballs so that you remember some overarching truths. The time of Jacob's trouble is what is referred to. The time of Jacob's trouble. Another name for it is the day of the Lord.
Is it the 70th week?
The 70th week. Yes, I give you all three of those. So any one of them will work. So the time of Jacob, just remember Jacob, Yana.
Yes.
Trouble, remember how much trouble he is sometimes? Not David's, but Jacob's. The day, remember that, Jennifer, of the Lord.
Association here.
And Daniel's, we need a Daniel in here now. Daniel's 70th week.
The divine 70th week or something.
Divine. No, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Okay. Okay. Look at chapter 16 real quick. You have see that box there that says judgments?
Yep.
In tribulation events, you're going to need to fill that out. I will give you partial fillment. For example, I might say, see on the left? Are you there in chapter 16?
Page 62.
Right at the top.
You just put it down here.
Yeah, no, she's pulling them all out so she can make modifications. Okay, so look at that box. I'm going to come along and I might say the first one, tribulation event, I might list in there seven seals. Then I'll leave the first blank to the right blank. The next one I'll say red horse. The third one I might say black horse. The fourth I'll leave blank. The fifth I'll put in. The sixth you'll need to remember. Okay? So along the left you need to remember seals, trumpets, persons, vials. You'll need to remember that. And then try. And listen, you're not going to get them all. My job is to make sure nobody gets 100. Not even Barry was able
or
to be
Andrew.
Perfect. Yeah. So well, Andrew probably will try.
Won't even study.
So pay attention to the event names and pay attention to the gap. Notice the gap there. The gap of the first one is 144,000 witnesses. The second one had a little book described. that John was asked to eat. The lamb and the 144,000 up in heaven in the third group, the seven persons, and then Babylon. Those four things like that, okay? So, remember that box grid. Also, just to remind you, on the test I do give you this chart, and it'll be mainly blank. And you'll have to figure out what is this blank, what is this blank, the rapture of the 144,000. I'll leave this blank and you have to figure out, oh, I need to name that, the Great Tribulation. I'll have blank years and you'll go 3.5. So all of that stuff you're going to want to just familiarize yourself with the chart. You'll do fine. Chapter 17 and 18. Okay.
So basically, you kind of want to know the Clarence Larkin graph?
Nope. No, don't worry about that. That was just in there for fun. Okay, too detailed. There's no way to go through all of this. You need a month of Sundays just to deal with Clarence Larkin. Chapter 17 and 18, there are two Babylons described in chapter 17 and 18. What are they? Isn't Babylon Babylon?
No.
One of them is a literal physical Babylon. The other is a spiritual Babylon. Thank you. So both Babylons are destroyed. The spiritual Babylon is referring to a city on seven hills that is responsible for the death, the martyr of all believers. Who is that? Or what is that? What city is responsible for?
Rome.
It is Rome. It is not that's Baghdad.
You're saying that's the spiritual one?
That's the spiritual one.
Why is it spiritual? Isn't that not physical?
It's
the religion of the Romans.
It's the religion.
Okay.
Okay. It's not. When we think spiritual, we think good, but it's not always good.
Well, no, I'm thinking like spiritual, like not tangible, physical. That's what I was.
Agreed. But it's agreed. The Babylon will be destroyed, but also will the religion of Babylon be destroyed? Is the better way to describe
that's
it? Yes.
Good.
Okay. what is the least valued thing in the world according to chapter 18?
The souls of men.
The souls of men. The most important was gold. Mm-hmm. Unless you're on Star Trek, that's gold plus platinum. But the least important is the souls of men. Chapter 19, who is the bride?
Hold on.
Yeah, find out where is that?
I remember seeing it, but I don't remember where.
Chapter 18, you looking for that?
Yes.
Give me a
the
second.
The souls of men, we talked about it.
I don't know. It's on chapter 18, number capital C, the impact on the world systems. The impact is on the governmental system, the economic system, and the maritime. But the economic, notice D, 2D. Notice what is least important?
Oh, we're in
chapter 18.
I'm looking at chapter 17. I'm like,
Chapter 18, capital C. Number two, the economic system D. Under, are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just picked something out that jumps out to you. What is least important in world's economy? The souls of men. Chapter 19. Who is the bride, Yvonne?
The church.
Good. If you say the church, did the church exist in the Old Testament?
No.
Not really, no. Now, they were called the church in the wilderness. They were a different church. We'll just leave it there, okay? But the church begins with Jesus, and it ends at the rapture. There's no church here. These are Jews running for their lives. Okay, so just getting your say the church. You can't just say all believers because that's too. There are believers also during the tribulation. When does the marriage of the Lamb, Hannah? When does the marriage of the Lamb take place? Where?
What?
I'll first say where, and then I'll ask when. Where does it take place?
In the family.
Good. And when does it take place?
At the end of the tribulation.
Okay. Or you can say during the tribulation. Toward the end of the tribulation. Toward the end. We're not sure. But towards it. That's when it's actually described.
Okay.
after everything is said and done. What does the bride wear, Andrew, to her wedding?
Her own righteousness.
That's bad news, man. Peter said, or was it Peter? No, it was Paul who said, going to heaven and finding out we're naked, meaning that you don't have the proper clothes. So it's going to be embarrassing. So what does the bride wear? Her own righteousness. Now we already have Christ's righteousness, yes, but she gets to wear the righteousness of her own life, which is going to be scary. Who will be attending the wedding but not be part of the bride? Jennifer.
The friend of the bridegroom.
Who is?
John the Baptist, an Old Testament prophet.
Excellent.
Bridesmaids, who are people during that are saved during the tribulation.
Good.
The five virgins of Matthew.
Yes.
And then all the Old Testament saints are the guests.
That's right. So it'll be a huge wedding. Good. So you got those lists?
Yes.
Got the friends of the groom.
74.
Good. Good.
Did you want us to know the types of marriage at all?
Nope. What is the climax? Here we go. This is a curveball. What is the climax to the whole book of Revelation? What's the peak of the entire book of Revelation? What'd you say? Thank you. Armageddon is the climax. It's the big battle scene. Okay. Who does the Apostle John fall down and worship twice?
Huh?
Who does the Apostle John fall down and worship?
The angel.
Yes. And who is probably the angel?
Jesus.
No, not Jesus. Because he says, it can't be Jesus because the angel says, don't worship me. Mm-hmm. Jesus never said that. Anybody who ever worshipped him, Jesus accepted his worship because he was God. So this angel was not Jesus. He was probably
Daniel.
It was probably Daniel. And he was as an angel. John couldn't tell him apart. He was as an angel.
Where are you at on that?
I don't know. That's chapter, that's chapter 19.
74, 3, 2, and D.
Let's see.
3, 2, and D.
What does Jesus use to defeat the nations at the Battle of Armageddon? Does he use lightning? Does he use nuclear bombs? What does he use?
His word.
Only his word. He speaks and they are
destroyed. Oh, the during the millennium.
No, this is during the tribulation. At the end, it's at the Battle of Armageddon.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll get very confused if you don't pay attention. And I usually give it linear. I'll say, now this, in line, so that you're not... I won't ask you a millennium question while I'm talking, hopefully I won't, while I'm talking about tribulation. Okay?
Oh, it's just tribulation in the exam.
No.
Everything?
Let's see. How long does the Battle of Armageddon last, Hannah?
How long does the battle last? 1,000
years? No.
The battle. That's why we call it the day of the Lord. It's over in less than 24 hours. It's a very quick battle. Okay. See, I threw that in there not because I want you to fail, but because these are the kind of questions that when you know these side answers, they help you so that you're not deceived by these other groups and wackos that are out there. This battle doesn't last 1,000 years. It doesn't even last a week. It lasts one day. Okay, let's see. Chapter 20. Now, Jennifer, describe the period of time called the millennium. Describe it.
Describe the period of the millennium. It's 1,000 years. And it's after the Battle of Armageddon. And the believers come back and Jesus Christ reigns on earth. The earth is remade. No, it's not remade. It's just, it's fixed.
Good, regenerated.
Yep. And
I like it. It's fixed.
Yep.
I like that.
And some of the people that have gone through the tribulation will go into the millennium. And at the end of the, you want me to keep going?
You're good. You can stop at that point. That's very good. The idea is you do need to know how long it is, 1,000 years. You do need to know that Jesus has returned. He is literally sitting on a throne, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years with a rod of iron over people who have come out of the tribulation. We're reigning with him. The earth has been made, regenerated, made again, just like the Garden of Eden. Things like that need to be remembered. That's what the... So when a Jehovah's Witness came to your house, did you ever have a Jehovah's Witness try to get you? When they showed you the pictures of the kingdom, they showed a child and a tiger or a lion, and they showed beautiful. They were pointing to the millennium. It's a real time. But they didn't know how to get into it. They didn't know how to prepare for it. But that's what they were referring to. The millennium. Okay? Let's see. Andrew, you're going to need to define a dispensation. Now, you can stay simple. It's more than just a time period.
Right.
But you need to be able to describe how a dispensation works. Starts off good, ends in ruin. And God has to start everything over each time. So, how many dispensations are there, Hannah?
Two. Seven.
Where'd you get the word two?
Her sister. No, there is a dispensation of theology and dispensation of time.
Where are you?
And then chapter 20.
Yeah. There are dispensational timeline. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 8, but there's actually, I want you to see, there's actually 7. I want you to say there's 7 is actually, I shouldn't have the 7 there. It should be a blank. It's back to 5. It's back under the tribulation. It's back with the Jews. It's back under the law. And ends with Armageddon. So, but there are 7 dispensations.
I think could you give us the exact definition again? Because they wouldn't have had it.
It's actually up at the top under A.
Is
different A-1. Ways that God deals with man. Oh, it's very simple.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Oh, you're all right. Okay. Describe the last two resurrections, Jennifer.
The last two resurrections. The first one is a resurrection to heaven for those who are believers. The second one is a resurrection of... I just read that first.
Everlasting contempt.
Thank you.
Just another word is to damnation.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are two resurrections. One of them is to life. The other one is to endless death. And Yvonne, what do the Jehovah's Witnesses think about hell? Yeah. Well, they don't believe in hell. They believe when you die and when you're judged, you're annihilated. You are destroyed. Big deal. I don't care. I don't want to live anymore. To them, there's no hell. But the Bible says people are raised alive again, and others are raised to a never-ending death. It's just they're dying and dying and dying, and they never stop dying. It is pure. It is hell. It is the lake of fire. So, that's the two resurrections. Let's see. Yvonne, I'll ask you this.
Yeah.
Who is Satan able to deceive at the end of the millennium? So, if I draw another chart, and we've got the Battle of Armageddon here, and then we go for 1,000 years...
Right. Children.
So there's children. But these are unbelievers who've lived under the rule of Jesus Christ. Honestly, it is amazing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I love them. I don't know why anybody wouldn't love and follow Jesus, but there is an attitude of people today. You'll be there during the millennium, even where Jesus Christ will be on His throne and people will hate Him. And at the very end of the millennium, for a short period of time, it's called a short season, Satan comes up from where? Where has Satan been locked away for 1,000 years, Hannah?
Oh. Sorry.
Where has Satan been locked away for 1,000 years?
Where
will he be? Yes. It says, and an angel, in chapter 20, it says an angel will bind Satan, will put a chain around him, and then will lock him. Where will they put Diablos?
Diablo. It's not in the sea?
Not in the sea. In a bottomless pit. Okay? He's put into a big hole that has no sides. I mean, has no bottom. So at Armageddon, Satan is locked in here, but at the end, he's allowed to come up and stir up a rebellion against God, against Jesus. If I can get my word here. Only for a short season. And my question is, who is he able to get to rebel? Not Christians. You and I won't turn towards him. But the people who don't get saved during that period of time. This is the reality of dispensations. And the other battle you will have, Andrew, when you're talking to bad attitude Christians and these modern Christians, is that they don't believe in dispensations anymore either. And the proof that there are dispensations is that each time that God creates a scenario and puts man in a garden, or puts man under the law, or puts man under grace, every single time man rejects God's way. Even with Jesus perfectly ruling this world, the people who live in the flesh, old nature, even without Satan, will still at the end turn against God. So It's just cool revelation, all right? Dispensations, the last dispensation. Now, what does Jesus offer to everyone freely?
The fruit of life.
No, he actually offers, before he offers the fruit of the tree of life, he offers the water of life. He actually offered that to the woman at the well, didn't he? He said, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask of him and he would give you living water and you'd never thirst again. And she said, okay, I'm asking, give it to me now. Poor girl. She had no idea what he was talking to.
What chapter are you?
I'm in chapter 21 now. Before we get to chapter 21, I better jump back and ask you, I need you to describe the great white throne judgment. And on this chart, where do you put? This is the millennium. Here's the tribulation back here. And it's over. You're in the millennium. Where is the great white throne judgment?
Right up.
Okay. So at this point, we have one more battle. What is it called? Battle of Gog and Magog. And then there is this. There is. That battle spreads throughout this entire universe, burns it up, and the old heaven are where? They disappear, or they disintegrate. They are destroyed. Okay? And right after that, you have the great white throne judgment. There's nothing here. There are no stars, there are no planets, only you stand before God. The most terrifying chapter in the Bible is Revelation chapter 20, the end of it. Great white throne judgment. Okay.
And that's where it talks about the second resurrection of...
Actually the calls it the second death.
Oh, mm-hmm. But it's that second...
That is the second resurrection, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw the dead, small and great, back up alive, so to speak, standing before God. Okay? Let's see... what are the three new things according to Revelation chapter 21?
New heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem.
Perfect. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem.
see, let's see, let's see. Oh, don't tell me that's him. All right. I drew you a chart.
The door might have it.
I drew you a chart, and I started off, and I said, God started off in Genesis chapter 1, and he created everything good, didn't he? Mm-hmm. By the time you got to Genesis chapter 3, what happened? Everything went wonky. And we've been on a what? A detour. How long is this detour going to last?
For a thousand years, at least.
No. 1,000 years.
Well, at least in one year.
No. Since Genesis chapter 3, we've been on a detour.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, but how long has this detour going to last?
7,000 years.
Total of 7,000 years.
I was saying 1,000 left.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's just my question.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a 7,000... That's a long detour. This is a 7,000-year detour. Then, at the end, at the new heaven, new earth, what are we back at? What are we back at?
New earth.
You got new heaven, new earth. This right here is God's original plan. That was what God wanted. Start and keep going with people who want to be with him. Adam and Eve blew it. So God says, all right, instead of throwing it all away, I'll work with them. And I will still bring out people who want to be with me and bring them into my kingdom. And then forever, they will be with me. So that's how God works. So I need you, when I ask you, draw a diagram of all of history. That's what I want you to draw. And I want you to be able to describe and say things like, you know, this is eternity past, an eternity future. This is a 7,000 year, I hate these pens, not working right, 7,000 year detour. Okay? I need you to be able to draw that. It's very simple, but it's drawing it as a big circle going on that way, okay? Do you remember the precious stones that are listed there in chapter 20? One. Remember the precious stones. I need you to probably, I'll ask you to list probably just three of them.
In chapter 21?
20 or 22?
Precious stones.
They're 21.
Precious.
The precious stones. Sardis. The topaz. The...
stones for the 12 tribes, is it?
These were also for the 12 tribes. The emerald, the onyx, the jasper. Just to remember those. Just try to find this. It's in chapter 21.
Right, but it's not. I'm not seeing them actually in the notes.
No. Okay. Well, all right. Maybe I won't ask you then. But if you can remember it, that might be extra. Let me ask you something that is in the notes. How big is the New Jerusalem? Who knows how big? Do you know how big it is? I give it in miles, not in kilometers. I showed it on the map. But give me it in miles. If you want to convert it to kilometers, that's okay. Or if you want to use furlongs, I don't mind.
100 miles.
Yeah, 12,000 furlongs, 1,500 miles, or about, what would 1,500 miles be in kilometers? Multiply that by 1.6. That's 2,400 kilometers. So, each side. So I want you to describe the New Jerusalem is, I'm just going to use miles, 1,500 miles square. So 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. It is a huge city. A huge city. What is planted down the downtown main streets of the New Jerusalem? No, what's planted
down the street?
Sorry.
Tree of life.
The tree of life. How many fruits can this one tree produce?
12 types.
12. 12 fruits, one for each month. So in December it has, I don't know what fruit it would have in December, but come January it would have a different fruit. Have you ever seen a tree that could produce
more than one fruit? Never. So this is a unique tree, a very unique tree, the tree of life. Could Adam and Eve, were they allowed to eat of this tree?
No,
they weren't. So this will be something that is new. They were not supposed to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But then when they did eat of that tree, they were not then allowed to eat of the tree of life.
But they could have eaten of the tree of life before.
They could have, but they didn't.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They only wanted to do what they couldn't do.
That's right.
And that's what we do.
That's right. Then here's question. Man is prohibited from doing two things in the Bible. What are they?
Adding and taking away.
Good. Adding to the Bible and taking away from the Bible. Adding to the Bible and taking away from the Bible. All right. Anybody got questions?
Man is prohibited, is it?
Say again?
What was the question? Man was?
Man is prohibited from doing two things in the book of Revelation. Okay. He's prohibited from adding to it or taking away from it. You don't change God's word. Okay, so are there any questions? We've gone through all the notes now. I'm sorry. I got it all recorded, so I can give that to you.
Yeah.
That's going to be recorded.
It is recorded. All those questions are recorded. You can actually go back and listen to them online. And you can go back to listen to chapter 12 and chapter 13. They're also online.
Pastor, are you also going to have the three views of the millennium?
No. Too much. There's probably going to be 130 questions on this quiz. I'm trying to cut them down. So there's just so much to learn from Revelation.
Mm-hmm. So much.
Oh my goodness. It is... It's awesome, but wow. I hope that it makes it so that you're not afraid of the book of Revelation anymore. I hope you're comfortable with it. And as you read it, you just enjoy it and learn where things go in your mind on the timeline. Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
I thought you had
joined. Oh, no, I was just saying to her. Our plan, how are we going to study? I'm going to pass the exam.